Okay. So good evening. I am Vineet Pillai from Sun Microsystems India. So I also work in the same team, Solaris Sustaining team, and I mainly work on utilities like service management framework, zones, packaging, patching, etc. So today I will give you a small presentation on BrandC. So yeah, I have written a better Linux platform. So it should be exaggerating, but I'll explain you on the due course. So this is my agenda for the day. And by the way, my English might be a little bit difficult for you to understand. So if you feel that I'm speeding up, just interrupt me or stop me. So I'll give you an overview of what BrandC is. Then why do you need BrandC in Solaris? Then how do BrandC get integrated with the zones or the container framework? Then I'll go to some detailed implementation of BrandC, how it's integrated with the kernel. And there is some concept called interposition points. Then I'll come to the LX brand. BrandC is a common framework, and we have the Linux brand called LX brand. Then the features of LX brand, observability, and the limitations of that brand. And finally, we'll have question and answer section. Okay, what's BrandC? A branded zone is an application environment from which you can run any other OS applications. So it's not like a complete OS which is running on top of Solaris. It's an application environment which you will get, in which you can run any other OS applications. So currently we support Linux, and in future we can have BSDs, and the branded zones, BrandC team say that macOS is their dream. So we can have macOS also in this. And it's not Xen. Xen is a para virtualization technology where you have a patched kernel running. The guest and host OS should be patched kernels. So here we don't have a kernel running. We just have an application environment. And it's not VMware. VMware is something like a full virtualization. You will have one OS running. On top of that you have third party utility. And then on top of that you have another OS running. So multiple kernels will be running at the same time. Here you don't have multiple kernels. Currently we have the Linux brand or LX brand supported. I think there is another brand which has gone in called SN-1. That is, on Solaris 11 you can install Solaris 10 zone, on Solaris 10 you can have Solaris 9. So there is a brand called SN-1 where on a particular installation you can have the previous installation of OS. So initially our customers were asking us, why can't we run Linux applications on Solaris? So we started a project called Project Janus, or Solaris containers for Linux applications, and they came up with a binary called LXRun. So like Wine, you can have LXRun and a Linux applications, and everything now got merged into BrandC, which now we have an operating environment. So that's BrandC. And why BrandC? Because basically customers are asking. So the conversation can go like this. Yeah, we know that you are a Linux user, but just try Solaris, and on top of that you can have Linux. And the customers will have some application which run only on Linux. Suppose you are the customer, you want Skype to run, but Skype is not there in Solaris. You can have Linux inside Solaris and Skype on top of that. And the last one, it can be a better platform. It can be a better platform compared to a Linux platform. So you can have a better Linux development environment on top of Solaris. I'll explain you in the due course why it's so. So previously it was a project to run just Linux applications. Now it's a framework which is integrated to the container framework or Solaris zones. So how do they get integrated into Solaris zones? Now we can have a zone which is Solaris, which is called a native brand, and we can have a Linux brand also. So how do we create a Linux brand? There are some zones commands like zone cfg, zone adm. So you can use the same command to create a Linux zone. Basically, if you want to create a Linux zone, just do zone cfg create minus t and the zone name. So I'll show you how to install a Solaris zone later. Then with the integration of BrandC to zones, we have a set of scripts which can be run. So it's in user lib brand. It will have a configuration file which says which is a script to run at boot time, which is the script to run at install time, which is the script to run at the halt time, etc. So I will just show you that. So if you see, we have two branches now. One is the Linux branch or the LX branch, and one is a native branch. So if we go to the Linux branch, we can see a list of files. And if you see this config, it says you explicitly what all needs to be done. So to install, you need to run this script. To boot, you need to run this script. To halt, you need to run this script, and so on. So if you want to create a brand in future, if you want to create a BSD brand, then what you need to do is you have to define all these configuration files, you need to define all these scripts, and you need to have some kernel modules. I'll explain about the kernel modules later. So that's how Branch is integrated to the containers framework. Okay, now what all changes has gone kernel to make the Branch in effect? So the design is basically such that a branded zone can be a zone which can run any other Unix OS. So basically Solaris and any other, it is similar with any other Unix OS. There will be some differences. So if we patch that differences, we can have that application, any OS running on top of Solaris. The difference can be in syscall, the difference can be in how the process is getting loaded, the difference can be in signal delivery, etc. So if we patch that points, you can have an application of any other OS running on top of Solaris. And that points are called interposition points. So basically what they have done is they have just analyzed what are the interposition points and patched that. Now we have a virtualized layer which converts all the interposition points to Solaris points and then gives back to the OS native format so that we can have an OS running on top of Solaris. And that is called interposition points. And now we have a macro called brand callback, which is there at the entry point of each of the handling routine. So when a syscall is coming, this macro will be called. This macro will check whether it is from a native zone or a branded zone. If it's branded zone, the control will be given to the branded brand module. Otherwise, the normal code path will be followed. So it checks whether the process is a native process or a branded process. And this interpositioning applies only to the brands. It will not apply to the normal Solaris native zone, so performance will not be degraded. And only one system call has been found as new system call, that is branches or sys underscore brand. Now how it's integrated to the kernel. So to link all these modules to the kernel, we have a linkage data structure called mode L brand, which has all these details. But the most important structure is brand structure. It will have four things. One is B underscore version, one is B underscore name, then brand ops and machine dependent ops. So B underscore version is an integer which says to which kernel it is linked. So if we have a brand which is not linked to the current kernel, it will fail to load. It's basically for security purposes. And we have the brand name, which is LX brand, native brand or whatever. And there is a brand ops. This is like VFS layer. We have a set of operations defined. So if you can see this, we have a set of operations defined, which is common for every brand. So if you create a new brand, you have to define all these functions. The first one is branches. It's a system call for each and every brand. The next one is set brand. So when the first process init is getting called, this is the function which sets the brand attribute of that init process. From there on, init will set the brand attribute for each and every process it spawns. And to get the attribute, you can set the attribute. You can copy proc data from one brand to the another brand, from Solaris to Linux and Linux back to Solaris. Then this is specific exec handler which gets called when a Linux program is spawned. Like that, you have a set of things. What to do when a Linux thread is getting created, init LWP, fork LWP, there are so many functions like that. So that's about brand. Now there is one supported brand called Linux brand. And the Solaris containers for Linux applications, it's implemented by the LX brand. The name is LX. And now we support only Red Hat or CentOS, because customers want Red Hat, so we started with Red Hat. And it's Linux, the kernel API changes for every kernel which is coming. So 2.4 kernel might be incompatible with the 2.6 kernel. Now our brand supports only 2.4.2 kernel, and if we can, we can develop a brand for 2.6 also with minimum changes. And yeah, so if you want to install, that I'll show you. So this is basically, it's not an OS on its own, but it creates an environment for executing Linux applications. And we does not provide a Linux distribution. The customer has to give a Linux distribution so that we can install on top of Solaris. So how to install a Linux brand? There are basically three options. One is, get the installer of, if you are installing Red Hat, get the installer of Red Hat and directly install it on our system. But that will be a bit painful, because Red Hat installer will first install kernel, then install the complete OS. We don't want the kernel. We want only the user environment. Otherwise, the next thing is that you have to write a script so that it will take the packages from the CD and install it in your hard drive. The last one is, you can have a file system. You can install Linux on one system, take the file system image, archive it, put it in your system and just unarchive it. So that's the best option. And the Linux installation which I am going to show you is based on this thing, unarchiving a file system image. So now when they design the LX brand, they need to find out what are the interposition points, where all Linux varies with Solaris. So these are the points which they came up with. First is init. So in Solaris, kernel starts init because SMF requires it. So init should be spawned from kernel because SMF requirement is like that. So when the Linux init also comes up, the kernel has to know that this is the init so that SMF can handle it. So basically we have an attribute called init path, so the kernel can identify from where is init starting. And in Linux init, we cannot send kill signals. We cannot send kill -9 to init, but in Solaris we can do that. So Solaris kill has to be modified so that if it sees that it's a Linux init, then it should not send any kill signals to that. And the run levels of Linux and Solaris are different, so we need to handle that. So this is the init interposition points. Now the way Linux loads a binary and the way Solaris loads a binary is different, so we have to handle that. How it handles is that when a Linux binary is getting called, previously I showed you that there is a op structure which contains the exec function. So LX also defined one exec function. That exec handler will take control. It will load the Linux interpreter and the Linux binary to the memory, and some additional info is needed, some more data structures are needed, it will load that also. Then there is another library called libbrand, so it will load libbrand. Libbrand will do some initializations, like it has to register the binary with the kernel. It will do that using a data structure called lx_brand_registration. Then it will give the control to Linux interpreter so that Linux program can run. So that's how the Linux binaries are loaded. Now how do we emulate the system calls? Solaris, the system call is basically done by three or four methods. One is the function system call called sysender, instruction called sysender, then software traps are there. There are so many ways, but Linux, the system call is entered only through one method, that is int 80 or interrupt 80. And currently Solaris does not have a handler for int 80. So we need to completely write a handler for int 80. And there are basically three. Yes?
I have a question. You said that kernel 2.6 could be supported easily. But kernel 2.6, as far as I know, uses many other ways of syscall.
Basically there are some four or five ways. So if there is a way which is not there in Solaris, you need to implement that function. Because currently we have.
So that is why 2.6 is not yet supported.
So it can be it can be taken up as a project and done. We have a framework, we need to add some more functions. Easy means by writing a few more code. Because currently you have a framework, you just need to write few more code. Okay, so Solaris didn't have a IntelliJ handler, so the IntelliJ handler was completely rewritten. And if a Solaris native process tried to do a IntelliJ handler, there is no, it just checks if the brand is Linux brand, then go forward. Otherwise, exit with an error. So if a Solaris program tried to do a IntelliJ, it will do a setfault. Only it will work only for branded zones. And there are basically three types of emulation. One is pass-through emulation. For function like open, read, write, close, etc., the arguments are same, the function name is same. So what the brand library needs to do is just take the arguments, give it to Solaris function call. So it's just pass-through. So examples are open, close, read, write. Now we have simple emulation, wherein the arguments might be different, but the function call might be same. So sometimes Solaris will be passing a data structure, Linux will be giving a set of variables. So we need to take that variables, put into the data structure and give it to the Solaris function call. That's called simple emulation. We're able to see. Next one is complex emulation. So some function calls, some system calls like futex, clone, etc. are not there in Solaris. So we need to completely re-implement that. Or the implementation is completely different, so we need to completely rewrite it. So that's called complex emulation. So we have done, if you see the code, there are three types of emulations there also. There is macros or pass-through, simple emulation and complex emulation. And basically the return values also can differ. So before calling the system call, it calls lx underscore emulate function. Lx underscore emulate calls the system call, gets the return value, convert it to the Linux return value and give it back to the Linux binary. Yeah. So this is how the system call is emulated. Suppose a Solaris process calls open, then inside that system controller we have the macro. The macro checks for the brand. If the brand is native, then do syscall. It does the syscall, returns it back. But if the brand is Linux, then it will call the module. The module will have the brand op structure. From there it will call the syscall. The syscall will do a concept called trampoline. I'll tell you what trampoline is. So it will go to user space. There is a library called Linux brand library. It will, based on the system call, it will do the basic functions. This is a pass through. So it directly calls the Solaris function, Solaris system call. So it gets the result and then directly goes to the user space. Instead of coming back to where it returned, it directly goes to the user space. This is called trampolining. So it basically just adjusting the stack, so that it will not come back here. It will directly go there. It's called trampolining. So this is how it works. Okay, so system call is also over. Now the next interpretation point is threading. Threading in Linux is basically by a system call called clone. There are a set of flags passed with clone. So I think there are a set of 4 flags. If all the flags are set, it's just like a fork. If all the flags are reset, it's just like creating a thread. So we support only these two, because these two are the most used clone system calls. So if there's a variation of flags, one is set, one is not set, it's currently not supported. So we just either do fork or LWP create. And in Linux, every thread has a PID. So that's also a problem in Solaris. In Solaris, only a process has a PID. Now what we do is, we'll have some reserved PIDs just for the Linux. It will not be used by Solaris. So it will be given to the threads. And one more thing, Linux and Solaris use percentage that this register for some different purposes. So when we come from the Linux context to the Solaris context, this has to be virtualized, because both are using this directly. So there is a separate set of code for virtualizing this also. Okay, now the next interpretation point is signal handling. The basic problem with the difference is that we have different number of signals and the numbering is also different. So like SIGHUB, the number will be different for Linux, the number will be different for Solaris. So the numbering is different and the number of signals are also different. The stack structure is different and the signal data structures are different. So we need to take care of all these things. And while delivering the signal also there is a problem. It uses percentage GS. We need to take care of that. then translate the Solaris signal number to Linux and vice versa, and then there is some problem with the installing the Linux system signal handler. So this is how it does. In normal Solaris, what it does is that when a signal is come, libc has to do some specific actions before the signal has to be delivered to the binary. So libc has its own signal handler, sigact handler, then it gives control to the user handler, and the user handler is called. But now here what it does is that when a signal is received, first the lx underscore signal handler is called. What this does is that it will store the gs value of Linux in some stack and give the Solaris percentage gs or the register value, so that the register value is changed for Solaris. Now the Solaris signal handler, libc signal handler, is called. It again calls user handler. This has a check for brand. If it's a branded thing, it will call the branded signal handler, which again gives control back to the Linux. So here the GS registry is taken care of. Here the signal numbering transition is taken care of. So now the observability with Linux brand. Linux has by default some observability tools called strace, GDB. You can use the same. And Solaris has even more set of powerful tools like dtrace, MDB, etc., which you can use. So you can have a set of all these utilities to see what is happening in Linux zone now. So that's why we say the goal is to be better Linux development platform than Linux. I'll show you some examples of dtrace later. And these are the features of Linux brand. The slash proc is a set of slash proc is defined for Solaris. Solaris has a separate slash proc and Linux has a separate slash proc. The problem with Linux slash proc is that it's considered as a dumping yard. So whatever doesn't fit into any other use, any other directory, they will put it in slash proc. Actually, slash proc should be only containing the process IDs as per the Unix conventions, but it has almost all the other things. So whatever can be implemented is implemented now. I'll show you that. So zonadium is a command to list all the zones in the system. So if you see, I have a Linux zone running. To connect to the zones console, clogin -c and the zone name. Now it's in the halted state, so there is no message in the console. So if I boot the zone, to boot the zone is Linux zone 1 boot. This is the command to boot the zone. So if you see, CentOS is booting now. So it has booted. So you are inside the zone now. To log into the zone, the basic command is clogin and the zone name, if you are in the global zone. Otherwise, telnet or SSH. So you are inside the zone. If you see slash proc, it has process IDs as well as other things. So most of the things are implemented. If you see CPU info, you can see that. Mem info. So most of the slash proc structure which can be implemented is implemented. So and slash dev also, most of the things which can be implemented like dev null, dev random, dev zero, etc. are implemented. And coming to audio, again we had a problem. What all audio needs to be supported? Currently Linux has two systems, one is OSS and one is ALSA. And they just look at all the binaries which uses the audio and found out that most of the things use OSS and some of the things use ALSA. But even the application which uses ALSA, like XMMS, they are also compatible with OSS. So we give support for OSS now, not ALSA. So I'll show you how my Linux zone will support audio also. And NFS client mounts, NFS server is not supported, but clients are supported. These are the limitations. So Linux applications cannot be run in the global zone. If you want to run a Linux application, you have to create a zone. And since the kernel is Solaris, when a core file is generated, it will be Solaris core. So the Linux application cannot debug that core file. And if you are working on some kernel modules, this is not the thing for you. You need to install Xen. Then you cannot access Linux file systems, and most of the physical devices are not accessible. So yeah, this is I have almost come to the end. Now the only thing is demo part. So there's a discussion alias called Brandc Discuss, and we have a community called Brandc, and most of my presentation is taken from the design doc, that is community/brandc/design. Yeah, that's it about it. So now I will give you a small demo of the branded zone. So if you want to install a branded zone, the thing is zonecfg-z create zone name. Oh, sorry. Create. Okay, so it says that this zone is not there, type create. So what create does is that it will create an in-memory data structure for the zone. So if you give the info, it says all these things. Brand is native now, so we need to change the brand to LX. So at the time of creation, you need to give -t sunwlx. If you see info now, it says the brand is LX. Autoboot, these are Solaris zone specific things. Now we need to give a root path where the zone has to be installed. So set zone path is equal to /export. I am going to install it in Linux zone 2. Then I want to add a network interface. So add net set physical is equal to BG. This is my device, network device. I need to give an address, 192.168.2.40. So I'm all set. Commit. This will write an XML file in etc zones directory. So exit. Now if you see ls/etc/zones directory, there is a file called linux zone 2.xml. If we cat that, you can see all the details that I have given. The name is Linux Zone 2. The path is Linux export zones Linux Zone 2. Then the network ID, the network card, etc. So now to install the zone, the command is zonadm-z Linux Zone 2. Installed. Now either we need to give a CD from which it has to install, or a file system image. I have a file system image now. So space, I have a file system image of CentOS, and see that it's in a tar.bz to format. The installer can identify this, so it will automatically unarchive it. And the installer is intelligent enough that it finds that it's a ZFS file system, so it will create a It is to be installed in a ZFS file system, so it will create a ZFS file system for that. It will take some time. By the time we will come back to the other things. So if you see this, and except for the init inside the Linux zone, the PID of each and every process is unique throughout the complete system. Because Linux wants one for the init, we have some mechanism so that we have two PID ones. For the global zone init and the local zone init. For rest of every process, it will have a unique ID throughout the system. So I am So this is the PID of the bash inside the zone. I am going to do a small MDB of that. So I can see that there is a bash which is running. So I take the address and print the process structure. So it's a very huge structure. I just want the brand details. So if you see, P underscore brand is LX brand, and it will also have a zone structure. So if you print that, it will say the zone name, where it is running, the path of the zone, and the state of the zone, extra. So basically, if you know more of MDB, you can just debug whatever you want with this bash thing. So now I'll show you, while we are planning to demo this thing in, yeah.
Can I kill a process in Linux zone? I mean from a global zone, Solaris global zone.
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Can I kill process running in Linux zone from a global zone?
Yes.
Can we kill the process?
Oh, kill. Yeah, you can do that.
Kill.
You can do that. If you are in the global zone and if you are the root, you can do that. So the root, the global zone root is the whole administrator for the complete system. So you can do whatever he want.
Yeah. Actually, all the Linux zone processes are visible.
Visible from a
global zone. You can use all the Solaris debugging tools on this.
So, once we were planning to demo this in the Bangalore Open Solaris user group. So we wanted to show something on dtrace. So we are seeing what we can show on dtrace. And if you know, there is a dtrace probe called lx_syscall to see the Linux system calls. So we were just trying to dtrace Emacs. So I'll show you an example with Emacs. So this is Linux zone. What I'm going to do is, I just want to see what are all the files being opened by Emacs. So what I'll do is, I'm going to probe for the stat system calls. So I'm just going to see a file is opened how many times. That's what I want to know. So the first argument of stat is the file name. So I'm going to take a count of that. And I want to do this only for Emacs. So I just give Emacs. This is basically what I do. And I'm going to run Emacs now. And I'm going to close it. Oh, sorry, there is some problem. We'll do it for syscall then. Okay. So I'm going to run Emacs again and just closing it. So if you see, we were just wondering why root_emacs is trying to stat 20 times. Emacs.dl is trying to stat 20 times. EL.js, everything is trying to stat 20 times. So we are wondering why, what's happening. So so if you see inside, you are in root and there is no file called Emacs. For a file,
.emacs.
For a file, so for a file which is not there, it's trying to stat 20 times. So we'll just touch that file and then try to run the same thing. See, Emacs is just done three times and the other files are not even opened. So this is a very simple but powerful thing. We have reduced the number of system stat calls from 680 to just 3. So if you have combined dtrace, MDB and all other things inside which you can work in Linux environment, then there is nothing more you want actually. If you are developing an application, it's no longer a black box now. With Solaris and Linux, you have everything running. So, yeah, this is what. And yeah, now the Linux installation is complete. And with the help of ZFS, now this is a whole root zone. The complete root is being populated now. And it will take something like 2 GB. And with the help of CFS, now you can just create another zone like this within seconds. So what you do is zone CFG minus Z. I am going to create a new zone, Linux zone 3, create minus tsunwlx, set zone path slash. So I have a configuration now. So now you can see one zone is installed and one zone is configured. And CFS has a property called cloning. Cloning is basically taking the snapshot of the same file system. And since CFS is copy on write file system, if you take a clone, there are no effectively there are no changes between the clone. So it will not just write, it will just create a snapshot. So I can show you how to do that. Zone ADM minus Z Linux zone 3 clone Linux zone 2.
So this command runs ZFS clone?
Yeah. So now if you see that it intelligently identified that it's a ZFS thing, it will not actually copy. It will just create a snapshot. So if you see the CFS list, Linux on 1, it has occupied 1.51 GB. Linux on 2, it has occupied 1.34 GB. Linux on 3, it has actually used only 69.5K. That is basically due to some changes in the slash etc. etc has to be populated separately. So some small changes are there, so it basically uses 69.5k. As and when you start using the zone, the files will get changed, only that files will get copied. So installing the zone is just in seconds, deleting the zone is also just in seconds. So this is one advantage with zone with ZFS. And the other one which I told, if you have a custom made application which is running only on Linux, you cannot run it on Solaris. So if you have a Linux running on top of Solaris, you can have that application. Solaris x86 doesn't have Acrobat Reader 7, but Linux has Acrobat Reader 7. And my Linux has Acrobat Reader, I have just installed Acrobat Reader 7.
And this zone ADM clone can be run only on the fresh installation? Or
no, any installation. But the zone has to be in the installed state. Okay. But when we make a clone, it will take the clone of the current system. So if we have installed so many applications and then taking a clone, all that application will be there in the clone also. So you can do it anytime, but the zone has to be installed state.
Okay.
Sir, what will happen if you now complete the first zone?
So then all those things will be copied to the last zone.
Okay.
So that operation will be a little time consuming. But CFS manages that. Yes?
Okay. And this is possible only in Nevada, because As I know from manuals for Solaris 10, zone on ZFS isn't supported because of patching.
From update 4 onwards, it will be possible. Currently, it has been integrated, but update 4 is not yet released. Either you need to have the patch, or from update 4, it is possible. Just 2 weeks back, it got integrated in Solaris. Okay, so now I am going to SSH to the zone. I'm going to SSH to the zone. So if you see the acro read of Solaris is way back 4.0. This is 4.0. Now I have my zone installed and I am going to do acro read on that. Yeah, SSH minus X. So it's basically, yeah. Seven.
By the way, the Acrobat reader is for the 2-bit application. So can...
Sorry?
The Acrobat reader is only for the 2-bit application. Or 32 bits.
32 bits, yeah. Yeah.
And how it handles the 64-bit and 32-bit Linux applications? Could you install just, the 32-bit zone, Linux zone?
This is 32-bit zone, actually. So
Solaris 32 and 64 is transparently handled. Solaris is always running
in 64. Yeah, I know.
Linux will not handle that, but anyway, underlying kernel is Solaris, so we can install 32-bit Linux zone also on top of that.
So the compatibility layer for 32-bit and 64-bit Linux cores.
Does it handle the 64-bit Linux?
No, currently we have only 32-bit, I think. You need to write a brand for 64-bit. I'm not sure about that. I'll check it out and see.
And virtual memory, how is it handled? Is it divided, the 4 gigabytes is the maximum for 32-bit? And does it support the Hyman, the Linux option? You know, you have 1 gigabyte for the kernel and the rest is for the data.
So the Linux kernel is not active.
Yeah, that's what.
See, these Linux applications are running as Solaris processes. So
the kernel is basically Solaris which is running.
Alright.
So it is just the Linux
user
and binaries that are running, including the Linux linker.
Yeah.
But the Linux kernel is not present in this.
So all the process from init is replicated. Kernel is not there. So.
And can you just, let's say, limit the memory assigned to the zone?
There is a project which is going on. Memory cap is not at there, right? We can assign CPUs, but memory cap, virtual memory you can assign, yeah. But you can say that this much of...
No, RCAP is there, I think, now it's supported.
It's supported, okay. It's supported. There is a project going on, I don't know whether it's supported, right?
Yes.
Okay. And CPUs you can assign using CPU pools. Mm-hmm. You can set this many amount of CPUs to the system.
So I can see
64-bit Oh, it's there?
Yeah. So I think 64-bit Linux binary
will also be supported. Okay. And if you see... these many new modules are added to the kernel for supporting Linux brand. So, there is a detrace thing. This is the basic module which you need to add for audio. Since my zone supports audio, so audio is also there. Then for emulating the slash proc file system, there's a proc and the linker. Loader. And I have one XMMS also I have. And even you can bring the complete GUI if you want. This is a genome loading for the branded zone. This is a branded zone GUI which you have. You have the except for working on kernel modules, every other thing is possible, or drivers, every other thing is possible here. So, yeah, this is my So my presentation is coming to an end. Any questions? Yes.
What about the network that you provide in the global, like an adapter to Zone, or like what's happening with the network? For example, if I want to have the 100% local configuration, then
yeah, currently a Zone cannot have a physical device. So what we need to do is from the global zone, we need to assign a device, a logical device. So my network card is BG0. So I am assigning BG0:1. In the configuration, I have specified that use BG0 and use the 192.168.2.10.
Right, so
yeah, I'll show you that. So if you see, BG0 is there for the global zone with the IP 2.5. BG0:1 is for this zone with the IP 2.20. But there is another project called Crossbow, which is network virtualization project. Once that gets integrated, a zone can have its own network card.
So for example, if I need to do the network address translation or something like that, then I can do it with the Crossbow, right?
Yeah. And you can have DHCP once Crossbow comes in. Now it's a static IP. We need to give a static IP. But once Crossbow gets integrated, everything is possible.
And the firewall is controlled from the Solaris global zone?
Yeah, routing, firewall details, everything has to be controlled from the global zone. But once when you have Crossbow installed, even the routing table, you can set it from inside the zone. So
do you plan to support IP tables or something?
Because
it's kind of, you know, networking things. Yeah. It's quite a kernel specific thing, I think. Yeah.
Then Zen is a solution if you need to have something with the kernel.
IP filter is already there.
Which filter?
IP filter.
No, that is
global. That is, you can use IP filter.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? But if you want any kernel stuff, Zen or Qmu.
And to add the, I forgot to tell one more thing, to add the sound support, what you need to do is, so to add the sound support, you need to add a ATTR or attribute. The name of the attribute should be audio, type should be Boolean, and value should be true. And once you have this, and if you have the zone running, you can have audio also inside the zone. So even multimedia applications are supported. And there is a guy called Edward Pilatovic. He has run Quake 3 inside a branded zone. He has played Quake 3 inside a branded zone. So if you have an NVIDIA card, then it's very much possible that you can play games also inside there. Yes.
And what about Emplyr?
Emplyr, yeah, I tried to install that, but it needed some dependencies, so I could not. You can do that also, Emplyr.
Because I ask because Emplyr can use codecs from Windows, and
then you can play. That. So yeah, somebody has installed Emplyr also, but in this zone there are some dependencies missing, so I could not install. I tried VLC and Emplyr, both I could not.
And when I solve the dependencies, will be Emplyr able to use Windows codecs or not?
Yes. If you have the files, you can use it.
And why not use it natively? You can use it these Windows codecs even under Solaris.
Yeah.
Okay.
But since Emplyr is already available
in my laptop, I have Emplyr and Xine here with all the illegal codecs, everything.
So it's already available in Solaris. So,
I think, or I expect that if you run Emplyr in Linux zone, you can use only X11 driver, yeah. Because
because you probably can't.
Yeah, right. That's
can't
true.
XP extension for Google.
XP.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because MPL just can't use direct object framework.
It cannot use.
It should be able to use.
No, but from a zone cannot use, right?
Why?
Frame buffer.
So what?
Frame extension is no frame buffer. It is X protocol extension, and I see no reason
and
why.
Does it work through network?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Then it should be possible. I thought it used this frame buffer.
See whether
DevFP
and things like
that in the Linux.
FDs.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned BSD zones.
Yeah.
Work in progress or just?
Currently no. It's not. It's just in the idea stage. They have idea only, so it has not been in paper also. There is no design document also. So it can also be open Solaris project.
Yeah, you can and, work on it.
Yeah. And even macOS, they say it's a dream. Sometime we can see in future we can have macOS also.
Even Windows.
It will be very difficult. Yeah.
It's a dream or nightmare?
Yeah, Windows on using Wine.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.